You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to the Record Celtic podcast. My name is Daniel Conn. I'm delighted to be joined by Record Sports' Craig Swan. How are you?
Yeah, good, Daniel. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I think that there's only really one thing in the agenda this week as far as Celtic are concerned. Obviously, the game against Lazio on Tuesday night. Before we get on to the kind of rather depressing score, you were there. What was the atmosphere like? What was the stadium like? Was it, you know, a good trip?
Yeah, excellent trip, Daniel. Every time you get the pleasure to go away, it's great to go and see these other stadiums and see how other fan bases and enjoy the games in other countries. It was I remember being in the stadium 4 years previously when Celtic played there in the Europa League, and I think it's fair to say there wasn't really the same fervour amongst the home support for that, whether they weren't quite as up for the Europa League. Celtic obviously had a huge, I think it was about 9,000 that were there that night. Obviously, it was only maybe just under or more than a third than that the other night. There was a lot more Lazio fans. And yeah, it was just like it was in Madrid and in Feyenoord, the atmospheres were absolutely terrific. So yeah, it was a really good atmosphere, really good trip. It's a fabulous stadium. Guys of a certain age like myself remember the old Gazzetta, watching that and watching the goals going in from places like that. So yeah, it was a great trip.
I feel like all the modern stadiums are just like big bowls. Like, they don't have much personality. I like stadiums like that are kind of a bit of a throwback. I think
there's very few stadiums in the modern era that can carry off still having a running track around them.
That's a good point.
Because you look at that and you always think, it doesn't look very good. But the Olympic Stadium in Rome is one of those that can get away with it. It still looks great.
You mentioned that kind of famous win in 2019. And I think that kind of partly gave Celtic fans hope going into this game. That and the fact that Lazio 10th in Serie A, they're not having a great season. But on the game itself, Yang and Forrest on the wings, I guess there wasn't really much choice for Brendan Rodgers, was there? I mean, with Maeda out, with Palmer suspended.
No, we spoke prior to the game, Daniel, about the only prospect of a change may have been in formation, whether Celtic may have gone to three at the back, tried to play Taylor and Johnson as wing backs, went another way, but we know that that's not really the way Brendan Rodgers wants to play it. He's got his own system in place with the two wide man supporting the striker. So given that system and the resources available, that always looked like being the two that we thought it was going to be. Mikey Johnson came on later in the game. But yeah, Celtic have... Tuesday night was similar to other games where key personnel haven't been available. Celtic at no point in the Group E campaign have been able to get their first pick 11 on the team, on the pitch, I should say.
That's a good point.
Now, we can then go on to all the other discussions and all the other debates which are taking place just now about squad depth, spend, where Celtic have ended up, how it's been allowed to get to that situation. But if you take all that aside and just look at the bare fact of the current squad as it is, Celtic never got a chance to play the first pick team.
Mm-hmm. Aye, no, you're right, you're spot on. Aye. Obviously, the kind of overarching view is that Celtic need quality. I mean, Brendan Rodgers said that after the game. On the game itself, though, I felt like this was particularly disappointing, this one. It felt like a familiar movie, but this felt a bit sorer because they were really average, Lazio, I thought. Really, really average. In the Champions League, that's probably as easy a group as you'll get, you know, without being disrespectful. Immobile was brilliant when he came on, but up to that point, it was there for Celtic if they could put something together.
Yeah, we'd obviously spent a fair bit of time with the Italian media prior to the game. We'd obviously done our research on how Lazio were getting on, then we were speaking to the guys there. We went to the press conference. There was definitely a feeling amongst the locals that Lazio were under pressure. They weren't playing well. Obviously, Maurizio Sarri's under a bit of pressure. When the game started, I thought, my own perspective, I thought Lazio started pretty well. Mm-hmm. First 10, 15 minutes, they engineered a couple of chances. You thought they were, they didn't look like a struggling team, but then Celtic started to get a little bit of a grip on the game. And then you started to see the signs that there's a lack of confidence in there. I think it was one or two of the Lazio lads that were playing that weren't necessarily first picks either. They looked a wee bit short of confidence. You could feel the crowd starting to get on them towards the end of the first half. Excuse me. Certainly the start of the second half when Celtic did start really well, relatively speaking, and looked dangerous. The crowd were really getting on top of them. And Brendan Rodgers said after the game going into the last 20 minutes that he felt Celtic were the team in ascendancy and were the ones that could win it. And that was the feeling I got inside the stadium. I think most of us sitting in the media section felt that if anyone was going to go and win it, it was going to be Celtic. Obviously, with the caveat that we have seen many times in the past, things can go wrong at the drop of a hat for Celtic in the Champions League, and it did again. But at that stage, Celtic looked strong. And it was a game. And listen, it's just one of the ifs and buts, and none of it really matters, because you have to be honest and say that Lazio had players missing as well. But, you know, a club of Lazio's size with the finances can maybe carry it a little bit better than Celtic. But there's always that nagging thing, as I say, ifs and buts. If Celtic's first pick team is on the pitch with Hatate, Rio Hatate and Palma and Maeda, you think they might have won that game? You know, if Lazio were the team that played the way they did, Celtic could have gone on and won it. But I suppose that's all irrelevant. It doesn't really matter. Celtic had the personnel that they had and they just couldn't get it done. But it was definitely winnable. There's no doubt about that. It was winnable. Just as the game was against Lazio in Glasgow. It was exactly the same. Celtic could easily have won it and ended up losing it.
I feel like I'm going to end up going around the houses similar to after the Atletico game. But I feel like it has to be asked. Brendan Rodgers pleading for more quality. I think the striker is the one area that certainly a lot of fans seem to be talking about. He went two up front, to be fair, when he was chasing the game. But do you think he will get the backing in January? Do you think this will lead to anything more significant spending-wise?
I don't think there's any doubt that Brendan Rodgers will get back, and I'm convinced of that. Celtic have money in the bank. Whether exactly the ones that Brendan Rodgers wants are available in January, then sometimes January can be a tricky market. But I do think he'll be back. I have no doubt about that. And I think we said on the podcast after the game against Atletico in Madrid that the planning for the Champions League next season has to start with the January window. You have to get guys in and get them bedded in and get them so that they're not just arriving. They've only played four or five games or whatever. At the very worst, try and get them in June or early July for the start of pre-season and make sure they're ready to go, because Celtic weren't ready to go for this campaign. Mm-hmm. And I'm 100% sure, having listened to Brendan Rodgers and having spoken to him, that he knows that the team will need to be built for that and to get ready in time. And he'll have his targets, and I'm sure he'll be back. The big question for all Celtic fans and for everyone in the media is as well, to what tune? We don't know. I mean, what we've spoken about it time and again. Do they up the stakes in the market, the transfer fees and the salaries? Celtic have spent what is good money for Celtic in Scottish football terms. You know, £6 million on Cameron Carter-Vickers and £6 million on Jota shows that they're not averse to doing it.
Yeah.
But again, if you come back to the Champions League, what... £6 million, you could buy £4-6 million players, or even £3-7 million players. Is it really going to qualify you in the Champions League? I'm not sure, but that's not the point. You should be trying. So we'll have to wait and see how the backing is done, how they go about it. Will there be a change slightly to the model, or will it be the same? That's the questions that everyone's waiting to see and hear being answered.
Kind of debating with friends after the game, you know, a lot of opinions flying about and stuff. You touched on it there. A lot of the idea that keeps coming up is we don't want, you know, eight players at £2 million each. We want one 10, 15 million pound player. And whilst obviously Celtic have got 70 million in the bank and all that, I think it's the wages. I think I'm right in saying that, you know, if you go in, this player's 15 million, right, we've got the 15 million, but he's going to want what? The guts of I don't know, 50, 60 grand a week at least. And Celtic can't afford that. I actually have a bit of sympathy for the board in the sense that they're getting a lot of stick for the Champions League record, but I don't know how you reconcile that. How do you bridge that gap? I don't see how they can.
I feel I don't want to repeat myself. We had that again. We had this conversation after Madrid. That is the issue. That is the issue. The players come with a salary premium. The cost, whatever the transfer fee is, relates into what you pay in salary. And you have a situation where we talked about it before. Maybe some clubs. And listen, Celtic might be exactly the same. The dressing room, all the agents and everybody all might be delighted if a couple of £10 million players come in and get paid double what everybody else is getting paid if it helps them win Champions League games. Maybe they will. I don't know. Maybe they won't. Maybe there's a structure and that's it. It seems to be that there's a level that Celtic will go to and that's it. And that's fair. Every club's got that. Celtic have their set. And it means you go for a certain standard of player, and that's just how it is. I have sympathy myself in this one. What I do think they have to do, and what I think is imperative, and I wrote about it today, is in the model that Celtic are currently operating in, you have to get it spot on. You have to plan it, and you have to get the right ones. They are out there. Rio Hatate didn't cost a lot of money. Dyson made it, didn't, because I know we've spoken about the Asian market and Celtic got into it quickly. But there will be other diamonds out there for £3-4 million. You don't have to spend £10 million to get a diamond player.
I mean,
What Celtic fans don't want to see is a stockpile of £3 million players sitting on the bench or not in the squad.
Aye.
That's what they don't want to see. They don't want to see, and nor should they. No one wants that. The Celtic are trying to buy £2-3 million players in the hope of them developing into top potential stars that can then go for big money. Look at Jota. They had to pay six for Jota. Okay, Benfica got their selling, but they got their, 25 million for him? Nice. If someone came for Cameron Carter-Vickers and they paid £6 million for, they'd probably get 15 for him. So it just depends how you want to play it. But I definitely think that they have to be better in who they get. They have to be better. You know, when Hatate arrived, when Matt O'Reilly arrived for £1.5 million, Matt O'Reilly was delivering the minute he walked in the door. And then the midfield players who came in the summer, Odin, Thiago Holm, £2 million, still hasn't proved himself. He's having opportunities in the first team, hasn't done it yet. He's been here for 4 months.
No.
You know, Matt O'Reilly was doing it inside 4 days at Tynecastle on his debut. That's how it has to be. They have to come in and they have to make an impact and contribute immediately. And like I say, I don't think Celtic fans have a mass. My own view is, if that's the model, Celtic fans don't have a problem with Celtic buying 4 £2 million players in January if they all come in and contribute.
Right.
But if another 4 £2 million players come in and end up sitting on the bench, that's pointless.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the key. It's not what you spend, it's how you spend it sometimes.
Do you get a gut feeling that maybe the level Celtic are spending that will change? Or do you think it's unlikely?
I'm the wrong man to ask. I mean, my gut feeling is they would be perfectly well prepared to spend the type of 6 million, 7 million, maybe even 8 million that they did, you know, 6 millions for Carter Vickers and Jota. I think they would go to 7s and 8s. I'm pretty convinced they would if the right player became available, yeah. The right players became available, but only the Celtic board have the answer to that. We will find that out in due course. But yeah, I do think they would. I think if Brendan Rodgers goes to Celtic and says, I've got one here and he's £8 million, he's £9 million, I think they would do it. I think they would buy the manager. I think they would do it. They've got the money there to do it. Providing the wage, as we keep saying, isn't ridiculous.
Right.
If an agent involved says, yeah, that's great, it's £8 million, but I want 75 grand a week, it's not going to happen. So all the pieces have to fit.
No. I think with the Premiership champions going straight into the Champions League next season as well, I think you're spot on when you say it has to start in January, because it's too, you know, if you start trying to buy players in June, July, it's too late, you know, they'll be gone probably.
And also, a club's June and July spending should almost be sorted in January or February.
Aye.
You should know who you're buying. Because it doesn't, football these days doesn't work in, oh, it's July, right, that's great, let's go out and buy some players. It's planned miles in advance. It needs to be planned miles in advance. That's why I've said that the plan, you know, there might be ones that Brendan Rodgers wants to get for Europe next year, but he knows it can't happen in January, maybe. But the groundwork should be getting laid for getting them, as in conversations being had or with the clubs or whatever and things like that. That can be done and find out, listen, will this guy come in June? Can we get him? Right, good, we can bank on that. And I also think Celtic, we're talking about Europe. I think they have to just say, listen, there's a lot of players to come back. You know, Real Atati will come back. Leila Bada will come back. You know, important players, Maida will come back. Celtic just have to shore up just to make sure they get that guaranteed Champions League money if they want it next year. Because, you know, we're not even halfway point of the league yet. And although it was kind of forgotten because in the middle of the Champions League stuff, Celtic got away with one last weekend. They dropped 2 points at home at Motherwell. It could easily have been pulled back a little bit again. So nothing's taken for granted. Celtic can't afford just to take the title for granted and, you know, start planning for Champions League. You know, there has to be a bit of it to make sure that everything's okay for the second half of the season too.
No, absolutely. It's miles away from being a foregone conclusion, definitely.
No.
I think Rodgers, I mean, every manager is going to say they want new players, but I do think the other night, it really hammered home when you looked at the bench. There was no, I mean, aside from O maybe, who was going to come on and change that game? I mean, nobody, really. Without being harsh, you know, Turnbull come on as well, and, you know, he's had a good season, but I think Rodgers is right. I think they need an injection of someone to come in, as you say, who can deliver right away. You know, they need two or three of those players, really.
I think everyone knows that. I think all the supporters know it as well. I mean, again, I keep heart feelings, or I keep repeating myself. If they have everyone available, they have a good team, and then all of a sudden, you know, at Champions League level, your guy's coming off the bench or some of the starters the other night, and you think, well, they've got half a chance. So, in that position, you don't build a squad based on what might happen with injury, if you know what I mean. You can't do that. You can't buy six centre halves just in case two get injured to make sure you've still got four. It doesn't work like that. No club does that in the world, well, unless you're Chelsea and you're spending $100 billion. But Brendan Rodgers wasn't saying anything that any Celtic supporter can't see. It's glaring. And again, it comes back to the £2 million and the £3 million that were spent last summer. Weren't spent well enough, because none of those boys could be shouted upon. Yang is showing flashes, and did okay the other night. I mean, you can blame him for anything. But if Dyson Maeda and Lewis Palmer and Leila Bada are available, Yang's not playing.
No.
And he's probably not coming off the bench either.
Those are three big additions.
What was that transfer fee? Two point something?
Aye, two and a half million or something.
That's good, you know.
Aye.
Can't really afford to be squandering that.
When you put together that fee, the money for Kwon, Lagerbielka, even Home, you know, it's the argument we've just talked about. You know, that's an £8 million, £10 million player.
Yeah, and in that situation, you add all that up, and the Celtic fans would have loved one £8 million guy.
Aye.
Instead of all those transfer fees adding up to that.
And I do think, I feel like I'm repeating myself now as well, but it's not even just the fee and the wages for me, it's the age as well. I would love to see Celtic sign, you know, a 29, 30-year-old who's been and done it in the Champions League. Just a wee bit of experience, really, for the other night, because, you know, Celtic played well in patches the other night, had, you know, dominated possession, but it was the same old movie, you know, losing it late on to a bit of quality. I couldn't
agree more. And if my memory serves me correctly, it was a busy week and a lot of things were going on. I'm pretty sure Brendan Rodgers said experience as well as quality. Didn't he in the press conference when I asked him, or someone asked him? I'm pretty sure he said quality and a bit of experience or something like that. But yeah, of course. I mean, with 20 minutes to you, listen, it's 0-0 with 20 minutes to go. You'd love to stick a wily old dog on there. You know, a record sport columnist, a Chris Sutton on there at 30. Go on, Chris, hold it up when there's a few free kicks, gets up the pitch kind of thing, you know. They don't have enough of them. Apart from Callum McGregor.
I feel every transfer is bought with an eye of, you know, we're selling for a big profit. And I just think maybe sacrifice that once or twice, you know.
I think that time may be coming.
Aye.
I genuinely believe that time may be coming. Now, for you to buy an experienced player that's absolutely top level, you're then talking silly money,
aye,
which is not going to happen. So you're going to have to trade a little bit off. But again, there must be ones out there. There must be. Coming in the last year of the contract, for example, somewhere that you can get for 7-8 million who are top. You know, I'm and I've experienced at the level. There has to be. And Brendan Rodgers, when all is said and done, and he gets criticism for what's happened in Europe with the results, but I would defy any manager to have got much more from the team this season and the players that he had available to him to get much more out of this group. In terms of performance, Madrid was obviously a write-off. But if you go through each individual game, which we've done, the circumstances of Feyenoord, we know what it was like before that. The performance at home against Lazio was good. Madrid was good. It wasn't a great game the other night. I don't think Lazio or Celtic were brilliant, but they were in there, they were fighting, they were competing, they were still in the game with 10 minutes to go. You know, I defy most, but Brendan Rodgers, to me, knows what he's doing. He's a top manager. He knows what he needs. So it's all going to come down to what he can get.
Nice.
Where are the club going to go? What are they going to give him? That's what we need to find out.
Aye, from the outside.
See, we're talking about the planning as well, Daniel. It's very important to remember that when these players that we've talked about in the last couple of windows, those signings took place while Giakoumakis was sold, Juranovic was sold, Jota was sold. Because if you're buying players in on this model, then it stands to reason that they're going to leave. Now, if you look at the team the other night, I'll be staggered if Celtic don't have a rake of bids for Matt O'Reilly next summer.
Aye.
You have to be planning almost as if Matt O'Reilly's going to be sold. It's because someone's going to pay 20 million quid for him.
Yeah,
that's how you have to think. Because if that's the model, buy young, polish them up, and sell them on for profit, well, Matt O'Reilly would have been there for, 2.5 years come next summer?
Yep.
That's his optimum time to go. And I think a new contract's just been signed so that you can demand top dollar. So you have to think about that as well. It's not just adding to who's already there. There's going to be more of the core of the team might go.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be considered as well when you're planning for what's coming next. So it's just a constant, it's just an ongoing thing. But I think the Celtic fans need, Brendan Rodgers needs to get, and the Celtic fans need to see good stuff happening in January.
Aye.
And I suspect there will be good business done in January. So certainly some business.
I definitely think you're right in saying that. I mean, obviously, he's you know, takes some of the responsibility, but I don't think Rodgers can take any of the real blame. Like you say, from the outside looking in, Celtic got 1 point from 5 games, but they've been competitive in every game bar second half in Madrid. But
he's not flawless. I mean, no manager's flawless. I'm sure he will look himself and the fans will look and say, well, if he'd have done that, or maybe he should have done that, or if he'd have come on then, or, you know, but I'm talking about in the overall, you know, maybe a change of system in Madrid before that game with the resources available, that kind of thing. But, you know, you can pick holes in everything. And, you know, that guy could have come on earlier. Why did he start? You can pick. I'm just talking about the overall.
Aye.
I don't think many managers could have done much more with the squad and the players that he had at his disposal for each game.
And looking ahead, Swanee, this weekend, Sunday, Celtic at McDermott Park. It's not going to be easy. Craig Levein back. I'm sure he'll do everything he can to make it a difficult game. And generally, it's Celtic are now in this really important run. Hibs, Kilmarnock, the Feyenoord game, Hearts, and then obviously Rangers at the end of the month. This could define the season in the next few weeks.
It's a massive period. A massive period because the league, the way the season is structured in Scotland, we all know it. We've seen it often enough. You play over half, you know, you play the bulkier league games before the break at Christmas, or just after Christmas. I'm trying to remember now. I don't want to make a mistake here, but I think it was COVID. I can't remember how many games it is exactly. Is it 6 or 7 still to go? League games before January 2nd, St. Martin. No. It could be more than that. Can't remember. Forgive me if I'm wrong. But it's such an important period in the season. It always is. Last year, there was the period before the World Cup break, and Celtic barely didn't drop a point and opened up a gap that Rangers were never going to claw back. Now, as I said, Celtic got away with one last weekend with the drop points at home to Motherwell. Celtic don't want that gap getting any closer before they break on January 2. And if they increase it, they'll probably put one hand on the title again.
No.
You can't put one hand on the title, can you? I was going to say trophy, but I got that wrong. But you know what I mean? You know, if they extend it any more in that period, because the nearest challengers we all know are going to be Rangers. If Rangers go and win the League Cup, they get a massive lift from it. If we beat Aberdeen in the final, we all saw how that worked for Ange Postecoglou's team. In his first season, they got a hands on the League Cup just before Christmas, gave everyone a lift. I think Celtic were 6 points behind at that point. Or fell 6 points behind again after they won it when they dropped points at St Mirren the following midweek. Yeah. And they still managed to haul it back round. So Celtic know this is in a really important period. And also, I think, we spoke about this, listen, people may argue with me and think, oh, well, does it really matter? But Celtic keep getting stats launched at them and you're the worst team and this and that. And Callum McGregor answered it. And so, you know, it's not this group's problem that all of these things have happened in the past. But that final game at Celtic Park in the Champions League is a big game. It's a big game.
Of course.
Celtic, go and win that game. Not only does it get you a few quid in the bank, but it stops people talking about you haven't, you know, the worst British team and all of that stuff. That puts that to bed. You win a game, great. Takes that. If they go into the Champions League next season, they don't go into the first group game with people saying you haven't won a home game for 11 years in the Champions League. Just, it's important. It's important for the guys that are in the squad to go and win a game in the Champions League, the ones who are going to be there next year. So that's a big game too. Whether they're out or not, it's a big game in its own right for sorting a few things out and putting a few things to bed. So it's a really important period and it's an exciting period. Now, these are, you want to see games that matter all the time, and they're going to come thick and fast between now and, I think it's January the 2 is the break, so it's just constant, isn't it? Every midweek, bar one, I think.
So, I think so, I know. Every three basically a game.
Should be great. Busy. Yeah.
Well, busy. I guess we'll see how it goes. We'll watch this space. But Swanee, I think that more or less brings us to the end of today's Record Celtic podcast. Are you at McDermott Park at the weekend? Or?
I'm not. I'm actually in London.
Okay.
I've got some time off.
Have a lovely time.
I'll leave it in the esteemed hands of my colleague Fraser Wilson, who was with me in Rome. I'll take care of that on Sunday.
Have a good time in London. And for everyone listening, thanks very much. We'll be back next week. Cheers.